Yeah, I have 601.
Yep, tape is rolling.
Okay, well, good evening, everybody. We're here for our January 6th Administrative Control Board meeting, Mountain Regional Water Special Service District. This meeting wasn't on our calendar, our annual calendar, so we've noticed it. And the first thing on the agenda tonight is this call to order. And do we have any public input?
We do not this evening.
Okay. So we're going to, this next item, executive session, we're going to come back and see if we really need to do that or not.
Okay.
So this item three, this next one, we're going to look at the general manager job description. Scott, you want to take us through that?
Yeah, I sure can, Mike. So there are two general manager job descriptions in the board's packet. There was a clean version for ease of legibility, as well as a redline version that was redlined from the previous iteration that was last done, I believe, in 2014. So with that, I can share the clean version here in just a moment, but we can kick it off with any comments. Mike, do you want to lead that discussion?
Sure. I guess we just go around the room here. Ian, did you have any questions, comments?
I was mostly in line with everything there. I guess I was a little bit surprised about the education requirements, but Tim kind of walked me through a conversation he had with Scott, and yeah, understood that we're kind of throwing a broad net here to start. So, yeah, okay. You can move on from me.
And another general comment I'll just share is that both Lisa and I reviewed the our previously existing job description, redlined, provided those red lines to David Warnock for his review. He concurred with the changes, and again, that's the redlined version that was included in the packet.
Okay, yeah, maybe I should have started with Tim. Do you want to? Do you have any comments as you guys were working through this?
The only comment that I would ask is that is this version that's out pretty much endorsed by Dave with regards to being compliant with the county's requirements for job descriptions? Because it contains the minimum that I'm looking for. It actually has more than I would probably put in there, but it's got the minimum I'm looking for, understanding that we're trying to cast a net that's going to get many applicants in this case.
So yes, I've reviewed that, and it does meet the standards and the minimum requirements, so I have no problem with it.
I don't either, then.
I have a question. Let's forget the job description for a minute, and I just want to ask the question of what's the ideal candidate? I mean, what does the ideal candidate have that's not in the job description? So, in short, what are we really looking for?
A good question, Joel. I think professional backgrounds can vary. I think there's a lot of different backgrounds that can function well in this role. I think primary requirements, I think, are the fairly obvious ones that we're looking for somebody to be the face of the district, somebody who is interested in promoting the district in a public setting, as potentially has some experience with implementation of policy in a public setting, and then I'll just say a strong communicator that has the ability to lead a team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really important, is what's not in the job description. Big deal if someone has an engineering degree. Big deal if they have a business law. I mean, that's fine and dandy. I mean, obviously, they should have experience or near experience in a similar position. But I guess what I'm asking, I think you've answered it, is what are we really looking for? Will we know when we see it?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think that, the time spent with the candidates through the interview process is going to be the key.
Hey, Scott, can you cruise down to this next paragraph too?
Sure.
Because I think that has a lot of what you were saying in it.
Yeah.
Local government, of water district, policy development, implementation.
You know, we talked about that water conservation piece, I think, in the board meeting last week.
Mm-hmm. There's your leadership and motivation, conflict resolution. You know, maybe public involvement could come into here. I heard you say that.
Do we need someone who said nonprofit experience versus profit experience, or does it matter?
We have government experience in there and those skills, and I thought we also had a section that relates to public.
Yeah, I'm glancing through this previous page. Represent the district to the media, outside groups and organizations, including industry stakeholders. Participate in outside community and professional groups and committees. Responding to citizens' requests and complaints.
I think
that's 90% of the job, and the other 90% is the administration.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good description, Joel. I think we do have what we're looking for in our ideal candidate.
Okay. I just wanted to ask the question because, I understand what's written down. I can read. I mean, I understand all that. But if Scott was replacing himself, you know, and he was the only interviewer, What would we be looking for?
Yeah, and I've tried to capture what I think are the key areas in this. So,
yeah, and Joel, thanks for confirming that you can read. That's awesome. But we also know you can see, and since you can see right now, just look over at Scott's window. And that's the ideal candidate.
There you go. Thanks, Ian.
You're welcome.
Karen, did you have any, are you online?
Yeah, I'm here. The only thing I had is I wasn't sure why we decided to strike the development part of the strategic plan. Like, we're basically just the candidate is executing the...
I think it was, let me pull up the redline version. Bear with me one second, Karen. I believe it was the insertion of strategic plan that was added there, but let me pull it up.
I think that was my intention, was to just clearly define that we were following our strategic plan, and I think before it was a little bit more obscure than what we were using, so I tried to define it a little.
What if we don't find someone that has...
Yeah.
The requisite experience that we're looking for. Do we want to put in there something to the effect and or the equivalent combination of education and or experience? I mean, what if somebody comes with a fantastic resume but doesn't have an engineering degree or a business degree, but gosh, they really look good on paper.
That's a good
point. Other job descriptions, we've said, or an equivalent experience, something like that. I'm not sure if that is in this job description, though.
I can't imagine we wouldn't at least have a bachelor's degree in one of those fields.
I'm just trying to cover all of our bases. I don't know if David has any opinion or not, but I sure as hell don't want to get locked in to what's in writing per se, as far as education and or experience or both.
You could do that, Joel. It would just be a matter of saying, you know, how do you want to define experience in lieu of education? Is it 1 for 2 or 2 for 1 or, you know, 3 years experience versus 1 year education? So you could do that. We just need to define what criteria you'd use. So if we found somebody with 25 years experience but no bachelor's, would that satisfy?
Yeah, I'm going to leave that up to the board. I mean, I'm not going to make that decision. I mean, I'll give my opinion, but by the same token, you guys are the experts.
Yeah, David, I mean, aren't we in charge of this process? Like, if someone came in and we're reviewing resumes and it doesn't match 100% what's written here, we have the freedom to make a decision that doesn't align 100% with the criteria here, correct?
You do, except if you've listed it under minimum qualifications. So if you list it like it is currently, requires a minimum and, you know, 10 years, if you find somebody that's got, you know, 15 years or 20 years of experience but doesn't have a bachelor's degree, in essence, because it's written the way it is, you would not be able to hire them based on this job description.
So I think we should do some statement about, as Lisa said, that's in many of our other job descriptions, that says something to the effect of, you know, or an equivalent combination of years of experience and education.
I struggle with that. I think I'm more in line with Karen's comment that I have a hard time believing that we don't have someone with a bachelor's degree or more coming into this position. Mm-hmm. And the way it's written, of engineering, business, law, or related field, I think that's pretty dang broad. So okay. I don't think this needs to get modified or changed. That's my take.
Yeah, I think that the first sentence there without the second one would probably be enough, because when you say that a master's degree is preferred, what that means is that all things being equal, someone with a master's degree is going to climb to the top of the qualifications because it's preferred. I don't know that we have to have the master's degree preferred, but the reason I didn't strike it out is because I think that this is broadly defined enough to where anybody that gets cut on the initial cut, all we have to do is just send them a letter that says thanks but no thanks.
Is the board okay with the years of experience? Is that creating some of the heartburn here as far as setting the bar in such a way that you're not comfortable with?
No, I think what I'm wondering about is if somebody has the bachelor's and 10 years, do we have to hire them? Even if, you know, what are the options from there?
Well, there's going to be typically what the process has been for internal hires is there is a matrix that's put together amongst the interview panelists that the candidates will be evaluated against. So it's not just these minimum qualifications, but there's other categories related to the information in this job description that's reviewed as well.
Yeah, we're kind of getting into the rules of selection.
Yep.
Okay.
Just circling back on Karen's comment regarding the strategic plan. We wrote here, direct, oversee, and participate in the execution of the district strategic plan. Karen, is your concern that we omitted development, and would you prefer that to be to develop and execute?
Well, I definitely think whoever is the new general manager has to be able to develop that plan. I mean, we're going through so much growth, and we've got this inner, that the agreement between Summit Water and Park City. I mean, there's just a lot of different strategic things that we have to look at long range.
So what if it read direct, oversee, and participate in the development and execution of the district strategic plans?
I love it.
Wait, this section here, the essential job functions, is a signal to the applicants of what they're going to be putting in their own resume. Right? They're going to look at this and they're going to tailor their resume to what we say the job functions are, and they're going to slant all of their answers in an interview towards what it says we think the job functions are. So developing the strategic plan is probably something, if we put it in there, they're going to all come in there and say that they've developed a strategic plan in the past. So it's probably a good idea to have it in there.
Okay, so that's one red line that we've identified that I'm happy to make.
Okay, I think that gets us around the room, and that was a good discussion. Are there any other comments or questions? Okay, so I think we're ready for a motion.
So I'm going to make a motion that we accept language in the job description for the general manager with the addition that was discussed tonight with regards to the strategic plan.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Unanimous. Thanks, you guys. Okay. Item really three. We're going to consider a wage increase.
Yep, so this is agenda item number four.
Yeah.
Let me get the memo that Lisa prepared up on the screen. I can provide a brief introduction. Okay, so, per our district policies, there's a policy related to auto-classification assignments. Lisa reached out to David, Warnock, and I both regarding this policy provision and requested, as she's written in here, a temporary wage increase as she moves into the interim general manager spot in accordance with this policy. I'm supportive of this request, and David, I believe that you agreed that it fell within the policy limits, and with that, I can turn it over to Lisa.
Yeah, just, basically reiterating what Scott said, I'm going out of my current pay grade to a higher pay grade in order to be the interim general manager upon Scott's departure. With that comes quite a few responsibilities, and I still will be filling my role as AGM. So I just feel like this policy speaks to taking on that temporary assignment, less than 6 months to find someone. And during that time, I just would like your consideration of a bump in pay just for that extra time and performing those two functions.
Okay. Well, that certainly makes sense to me. Is there any discussion?
Just to confirm, the bump in pay is for just the interim period, and then once we do get a general manager, the pay would drop down back to the original.
Yeah.
I guess my gut feel is 10% is a little low. I think the email Tim sent out kind of justified that. So if the board's open to it, I wouldn't mind discussing that number in detail, the 10%. If anyone else has thoughts.
Well, I think we're willing to listen. Is this the right format to do that? Do we need? Is this now a personnel issue?
If you're going to discuss, you know, the merits of an individual as it relates to wage increases, then yeah, this needs to move into executive. If there's a motion for a specific wage increase without discussing the merits of an individual, then you can move forward in that way.
Let me ask Lisa a question here. Lisa, the amount that is in this memo, is this your proposal?
It's my proposal.
Okay, so outside of executive session in this in open session right now, we couldn't discuss modifying that number. Even if we don't talk about merits of an individual?
I think if you discuss in broad terms, that's probably fine. But, you know, I think, again, if you're going to get into details, I think it's best done in an executive session.
Maybe it's more about the what you think it should be, Ian, instead of the why, the merits.
I guess what I would propose then is based on that analysis that Tim did, at minimum it'd be 14%.
Did you guys have a chance to consider that when you were developing your proposed 10%?
I think Tim just barely sent that out. Did that come through today, Tim?
Yeah, I asked for an analysis to see what the what a reasonable amount might be given the math of just the average of one classification compared to another classification for the purposes of seeing whether the amount that's being proposed by the interim general manager falls at or under that amount. Because in this case here, it's an amount that's being asked for the person involved. And the idea was to send out that amount there to say that here's just the math so for example, if we were seeing in this memo an amount that was 20% as opposed to 10%, then the information that I gave you might inform a different decision on here. But in this case here, the amount falls within the amount that I looked at in the analysis, and it's coming from the individual. So I think that we would run the risk of, it isn't the same as negotiating against yourself or anything, but it's a second cousin to it. Let's put it that way.
I think it's a good
catch. And my hesitation here is that I think this is going to be a hard assignment. There's a lot of stuff hitting the district right now. Lisa's going to be dual rolling. So I see that as a huge, huge amount of responsibility, and massively appreciative that she's willing to do that. I think she's the best person to do it. And my thought is she should be rewarded for such. And I don't want her to feel like she's having to, you know, do a heavy lift here and not be rewarded through that period of time.
Thanks, Ian. I appreciate that. And, I mean, I'll be honest, I was closer to 15. I came in at 10. I'm not the only one that's going to be taking on a big lift. There are other people that I'm going to rely on in this organization, and I potentially at some point further down the line, depending on how long this this process extends, I would potentially be asking for some kind of bonus or compensation for those individuals that are going to help me through this process. So that's why I did what I did.
Joel, do you have any comments?
Well, not really. I mean, 10% and 14%. I would probably go for the 14%, or close to it. There's a lot of unknowns and what Scott's giving up, and Lisa's expected to do, as far as, and other people. I don't think, and this is not meant to be a derogatory comment, but there's going to be some things that Lisa's just not aware of, and that's not Scott's fault, it's not Lisa's fault. I mean, it just is. I would probably err on the side of going higher than 10%.
Okay. Yeah. Karen, where are you on this?
I'm with these guys. I think that this is going to be a tough period of time, and in the past we brought in another general manager in the meantime, and the fact that Lisa's willing to take this on is really, I think that's going to be good for all of us.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm trying to make sure, we, as the administrative control board, that's how we act. And we had a good example of this a couple of months ago, where we went with Scott's recommendation, and I remember when you helped us with that, Karen. That's what, he thought was right, and that they're really responsible for running it, and we're more, these controls that, we checked it and where everything's transparent, and but I also agree it's going to be a lot of work. So I hear what
Mike, let me ask you a question. And David, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I really am not. But what's your opinion, David, being the personnel guy?
Well, not knowing, the lift that's going to go on and all the aspects you've got going on, but I think it's appropriate to, reward, the person willing to step in here with as much as you feel is appropriate, just because there's going to be some additional duties that she's going to take on. And, if Lisa was closer to 15% and now she's down to a 10 and, what have you, I think that speaks volume for how she came at this, and 14% is probably not unreasonable.
And David, a point of just a policy question here. This approval falls within the purview of the board, correct? Because it's due to the nature of this being already part of our personnel policies. If it were to be an employment contract, it would have to go before the council. But my understanding is that this is the board has the authority to make this adjustment for compensation for the general manager.
That is correct. Yep.
Well, it does fall to the board to decide kind of also how much it should be. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, that's correct. And it's not a budget adjustment or anything like that, because you're utilizing Scott's salary while he's gone to basically pay Lisa. So there's no budget adjustment or anything needed.
Well, I think we're ready for a motion to approve a wage increase modified to 14%.
Second. Oh, actually, I guess I'll make that motion.
Okay. Thank you.
Second.
Karen and Ian, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You deserve it, Lisa.
Thanks. I'll do my best. I've got a great team, and I've been meeting with everyone, and everyone feels the same way. And just like I said, I'm really appreciative of the staff that we have, and we're gonna get through this interim, and I feel good about it. I know it's gonna be a lot of work. I'm prepared, and like I said, I've got great people around me, so.
I think Lisa's more than capable to do it, and I apologize for putting the district in this position, but ditto. I'm happy for the team that's here.
Okay. All right, item five. We're going to talk about the contract for the Pine Meadows Mutual Water Company evaluation. Scott, you want to take us through this one?
Yeah, happy to, Mike. So, following input from staff, some leadership with the council, and our board meeting last week, I reached out to Eric Silvick with Pine Meadows, the manager, and Lisa and I joined a meeting with him and his operator on staff, and I let him know that the district would be discontinuing the annexation process at this time, that it was not off the table, that annexation was not off the table. But that the district needed to focus on the immediate needs and priorities of the district, specifically my replacement and the transition of bringing on a new general manager. That was not well received, as I expected. I think that the key takeaways of the meeting to share with the board were, one, that the Pine Meadows organization would like to move forward with this engineering evaluation, that they see it as an important step forward with kind of understanding the needs of Pine Meadows if annexation is to progress. And I support that request. I think that this engineering evaluation will assist the district in either path we take, whether it's annexation or more of a wholesale kind of water supply arrangement. There's information that's going to come out of this that's going to help the district structure either of those paths. So, focusing on that for a moment, I would recommend that the district approve this engineering services contract with Bowen and Collins for this engineering evaluation. Another key output was they request a leadership meeting between the two organizations, including board leadership, to be able to talk about the path forward. One of the main things that they're struggling with at this point is stability for their organization and for their staff. At the end of the day, they would like to reach to the extent possible, some definition of what this looks like going forward, whether it's a fixed-term water supply contract or an annexation process, as they're struggling to maintain the staff that they have. I received an email today from Eric requesting a 10-year water supply contract that's bookended at the end with annexation. I don't think it's appropriate that the board discuss particular requested terms at this point. It's not an agenda item. I just share that with you as the type, I guess, of conversation that you can expect in this future meeting. And I let Eric know that, during that meeting, that would be a more appropriate time to talk about, again, these various paths forward. So, with that, that's all I have for the board at the moment. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions, though.
Well, Scott, I agree that that the study should go forward. And the reason being is because I think it's the first step in the district responding to something. I mean, if you're supposed to do a pro and con, you've got basically maybe a little more than back of the napkin issues, and you've got you've got supply and demand numbers that are coming from Pine Meadows as opposed to a disinterested third party in this case. I think the study is necessary to move forward on the technical aspects. It's not going to answer operational stuff, employee issues. That's something that's going to have to be decided by the district, but I think the study is needed first. And one other thing is that I think that we should take a look at the possibility of exploring a contract project manager for this annexation if we move beyond just this study. Just because, as Ian had pointed out to me the other day, I think everybody is operating at capacity right now in the district, and we're going to go through a couple months of looking for a new general manager, and that's not going to help anything because all the duties have got to get done. And I know that you didn't entirely take off your engineering hat while you were the general manager, so that kind of helped out Sam quite a bit. But we aren't certain that we're going to get somebody back with that kind of capability. So I would like the district to, or management to consider the advisability of going to a contract employee to be the acquisition or the annexing manager, so to speak, on a part-time basis.
I think that's a good suggestion, Tim. And that's, I've made that point very clear with the management at Pine Meadows that, that it's a capacity challenge for the district to pursue this full time right now.
Let me say this another way. Maybe this is what Tim is getting at. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I would like to see a sunset for us to make a decision, whether it be 9 months or 12 months or something in between, maybe a number I haven't mentioned. But I think that the new Mountain Regional Water General Manager should help set a sunset. I just don't think that this should go on and on and on and on. It's not fair to the Mountain Regional Water General Manager, and it's not fair to Pine Meadows.
Okay.
And those are just my thoughts.
Yeah, and I can kind of see what Tim's saying there, that somebody to lead this. And I think the overarching task is an annexation analysis where we develop these alternatives. One of them is annex, another is wholesale, contract, with and without sunset dates. And I think as you delve into that annexation alternative, you need this engineering study. And so I think in that regard, it's okay. That's not really going to probably change a lot. The consultant's doing most of the work. But I can see that, this whole annexation analysis, it is going to be hard to really drive that forward right now. And that's a conflict, for Pine Meadows needs, right? They need answers so they can tell people. I guess from a timing point of view, it's probably better to get the engineering evaluation going. Karen, did we hear from you on this?
Yeah, I think it's nice to, I think it's a good plan to go forward with the engineering evaluation. And, I guess I would, I feel like they're asking for our help. I wasn't sure if at the beginning of all this it was, you know, that they were driving it, but knowing that they are asking for our help, I think this will clear up whether we can help them or not.
This will take some time. This engineering evaluation will take 6 months.
Yeah.
So we won't have a report until, you know, middle of summer. So I think that's kind of a, you know, once we have that, we'll have another decision point to make. And if we want to, you know, have a leadership meeting with them in the meantime, I think this engineering evaluation will give us, help drive some of those answers that we can't answer right now, like you talked about. The pros and cons, we really need this in order to understand what we're up against.
Okay. So, Ian, did you have comments here?
Yeah, I'm still, we participated in due diligence activities similar to this, not exactly the same, but similar enough to give me concern. I just don't know who's going to support this in the interim before we get another general manager or, you know, another engineer to work with Sam. So I really like Tim's suggestion of bringing somebody in to manage this until we can have some additional bodies. Because, yeah, we've all stated here that this is a critical aspect for moving forward, and right now we can't answer a lot of questions associated with Annex versus, you know, some of the other options. So if this is a critical piece of information that we need, it needs to be fully vetted, challenged technically, and it can't be a multitasking side effort to someone's full-time job, in my opinion. So right now, I can't see myself approving this without a contingency of an additional body to manage it.
Do you see a big list on the district's end while the report is being, while the engineering evaluation is being done?
I guess I see it typically due diligence being a two-way street where, yeah, Bone and Collins can do the majority of the lift, but they're going to have questions on aspects of how Mountain Regional System works, how they'd like to see it integrate. I mean, they're going to need input from Mountain Regional is my expectation. Maybe that's wrong, but any request from them to Mountain Regional question-wise is cutting into, you know, our staff's time.
This also looks like it's the only issue that's facing us right now, in my estimation, that has the potential for getting off the rails in the next 6 months. I mean, you have an entity out there that is looking for answers. We've already brought in the council on this to try to figure out how to move forward on there. I think that it's gonna take on a life of its own outside of this evaluation study. That there's gonna be, I hate to say it, there's gonna be some politics, there's gonna be some media, there's gonna be all kinds of stuff involved with this. And it's only going to go with a crescendo over the next 6 months in the worst case scenario. So that's just a prediction of mine that it could go this way. It might do nothing, but it looks like it's the potential thorniest issue that we have facing us right now.
I think some of those issues can be could be mitigated if both Mountain Regional and Pine Meadows were able to sit down and come to terms on you know, some, again, like I said, Pine Meadows is interested in some stability, right? Some defined term where, you know, they can maintain their staff, maintain their ability to operate. Maybe there's a hybrid approach there, between a water sales contract and continuing to move forward with our due diligence here. Again, that's for the district to decide going forward.
Well, Scott, in the last month, what percentage of your time have you been putting toward this issue?
Oh, you know, not a ton, Tim. 5% maybe. The last few days it's been a lot more. After we've, you know, I've, you know, passed along the information to Pine Meadows that we're just not in a position to continue this at the moment. You know, trying to give the district some breathing room. Like I said, they were very upset, understandably. You know, they feel like we pulled the rug out from under them and told them that we're going to annex, and now we're taking a step back. You know, when they proposed moving forward with the engineering evaluation, you know, again, I think there's benefits to both parties to get this moving and get it going. But I do understand the concerns of the board about staff time. I don't think it's going to be a heavy lift from the district for Sam. There will be questions, to Ian's point. There has been, you know, I'll just say, yes, there will be questions for sure. And I can't predict, you know, what sort of lift it turns into. But to the extent that both parties can sort of get on the same page and, you know, and agree on a path forward, I think some of the extraneous politics and other items can be mitigated.
Right, because so, then how would you,
what would you say the district's position is then on staffing for this annexation then, given what you just said? It's not necessary to bring in a dedicated project manager, that it could be absorbed within the staffing that we have, or is that something that the district would be willing to explore?
You know, I guess from my standpoint, you know, I would say for the district to move forward to get it started and see if there is a burden that starts to come from Bowen and Collins towards Sam. And if there is, Sam doesn't have the bandwidth to support it, and the district's going to have to get some help. So it may be something where you can get started and see how it goes.
But it's not just Sam. It's Sam and Lisa in this case, right? Because Sam is dealing with the engineering technical aspect of it, and Lisa would be dealing with the other aspects of it.
Yeah, I'm focused strictly just on this engineering evaluation. I think that, you know, that's going to task, those questions will task Sam the most out of everybody here. And, you know, I think we've made it clear that the district doesn't have the capacity to perform a lot of the other elements of this, right? That's why I asked for us to stop. You know, there are, you know, back to the process document that I put together probably the better part of a year ago now. The next step following this engineering evaluation is getting into the financial modeling, and certainly Lisa's going to be heavily involved in reviewing that and providing input for the district. So, you know, as far as kicking this off, having a third-party consultant, you know, under contract to perform the work, the bulk of that lift is going to be in their court. Will there be some questions? Certainly. It's just impossible for me to predict, you know, how intensive those questions are going to be.
A lot of those questions will fall on Pine Meadows, too, though. I mean, they're operating on that system. So, you know, how it integrates with our system, but also the deficiencies in their own system, which would, you know, land in Eric and Brody's lap, right?
Yep. So there's a... I would agree with you, Lisa, that I think the primary focus here is understanding the deficiencies on the Pine Meadows side. But the integration is an important piece of this, and it's complex, right? When you the integration piece is complicated when you're trying to look at how two systems behave with one another. And generally, our systems are interconnected now with an emergency interconnect. That's a positive, right? We already understand a lot of the concerns. It's really an uphill capacity study is the bulk of the integration piece. There has been a Northridge study done in the past, so by a third party. So there is some good technical engineering level work that's already been done there that can be leveraged. You know, so I don't My gut tells me it's not going to be a huge lift for Sam. But again, I can't predict exactly what is going to come. And, you know, I think, again, that's why, you know, what I guess what makes sense to me or intuitively for me is, you know, you see what the lift looks like. And if it's too much, you know, you hit the timeout button and you reach out to getting some assistance and then you continue.
Well, there's no question that Pine Meadows has got the task of persuading us, and we're in the position of being persuaded, right? I think the only thing I'm saying is that if this thing does blow up, I don't want to make it look like there was an imminent problem out here and that the district was taking too much to answer a simple question from Pine Meadows in what they might be calling a crisis while they're trying to persuade us. We just need to have a plan in this case. And Scott, I'm seeing that you don't think that that's how it would really be shaking out.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a good working relationship over the years. Certainly, I like to see it continue. It's soured at the moment, but I think that bringing the parties together can get the train back on the rails. You know, that's my prediction.
Okay. Well, yeah, I can see sort of the shape of this thing coming together with, we've got this, I think it's an annexation analysis, we've got alternatives. If we prepare a work plan for that and we make these assignments, you know, we're going to see pretty quick that the leader position is vacant, but, you know, some of these other tasks that we still can do that are, you know, involve the staff, those are going to be, you know, done regardless of, you know, working on these other tasks. So I'm okay with Scott's recommendation to move forward. And I think that, you know, there's some risk involved here, with delaying. And it doesn't seem like there's as much risk of the impacts of doing it now. So, is there any more discussion?
I've got a question for Ian. Ian, you were saying that from your perspective on here, the engineering evaluation approval from you would have to be coupled with something like a project manager assigned, maybe a third party outside of the district or something. I mean, what I heard you say is that it would have to be contingent upon some plan to move this thing forward without overtaxing the district.
Yeah, that's where I was most comfortable. At that point in the conversation, hearing Scott say he's only putting in about 5% and maybe it's only going to go a little bit above that, I don't know if that justifies bringing somebody in.
That's 3 hours a month.
I guess I'm still
to do that.
I'm still hesitant though, because, you know, Scott's going away and, you know, all the stuff that he's been doing, kind of carrying things forward, is going to disappear. And I don't see Sam's workload decreasing in any ways. I see it increasing, and then this is just one more thing thrown in there. So I guess I'm still hesitant on it. And, I mean, I don't think everybody needs to vote in favor on every issue, so I might not on this one.
Well, I think if you look back at a work plan, we need somebody to lead it. And so then what is the plan, you know, to solve that one? And, you know, it might be exactly what you're saying, Ian, because we got to have...
And I hear what Scott's saying, and I get it. Like, Pine Meadows is concerned, and they didn't want to hear what Scott told them, that we were taking a break from this. And so they want some... comfort. They want some surety so that they can hold their system together and not lose staff. I get it. But I guess in my mind, having a conversation with them that, you know, we see this as a serious endeavor and we want to do it correctly. And our preference is to annex them at this point. Nothing's guaranteed. This is a due diligence exercise, but part of the seriousness of that engineering evaluation from a technical perspective is having someone assigned to lead it through. And when they're needed, they can put 100% at it and get the correct answers. I think there, in my opinion, there could be a message back to Pine Meadows that we are taking this seriously. We're going to assign a person to manage it, and then we'll approve the Bowen and Collins contract at that point. Or we approve it tonight, but it's contingent on bringing somebody in to manage it and not Sam. Those are just my thoughts. I'm not saying we have to do that, and I realize that maybe that's too big a burden and puts other stresses on the system, bringing somebody in or finding a body. But I guess I'd much rather do this correctly or know it has 100% attention and it's not, you know, a secondary or a stressor on somebody else's role.
Can we ask Bowen and Collins what they think the district's list will be, like the time commitment that they think they foresee us undertaking in the next 6 months?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question, Lisa. Another thought that I'm just kind of batting around in my head is, you know, there's a lot of this that Pine Meadows can take and run with. When I say 5%, a lot of my effort over the last 6 months has been working with Pine Meadows to gather the information, all the information, whether it be finance-related, engineering-related, system-related, into accessible folders for district staff and our consultants. So I've worked with Bowen and Collins and Pine Meadows as well as has Sam to gather all the information that they're going to need that's available to perform this. So I think there's a lot of tasks that they can take that information and run with it. And maybe the more intensive tasks for the district, meaning those tasks that require more questions, more Q&A, more back and forth, can push to the back end, and maybe by then there's, we've got a replacement general manager and we've got some relief. So certainly, Lisa, we could ask Bowen and Collins, and then I just followed up with that additional thought.
Well, the reason I wasn't, I think I'm understanding what you're saying here, Scott, but one of the things I was thinking about is that Bowen and Collins could provide a more enhanced project manager that would be more of a consultancy on that. The problem is it would kind of taint the whole thing on who's paying for what and who's getting the answer that they're paying for,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we can't really go that direction because this report is supposed to be basically endorsed by both parties, paid for by one, but overseen by us. So I don't think that we could have someone from Bowen and Collins that would be taking on an advocacy role on behalf of the district just because it wouldn't be appropriate in this case.
I would agree with you.
Well,
I like Lisa's suggestion.
Go ahead, Ian.
Sorry, I was just saying, I like Lisa's suggestion. Find out what Bowen and Collins' anticipation is of how much time they're going to need for Mount Regional staff over the next couple of months and some specificity on what those items are that they're going to be requesting.
And that's going to be one part of what the district's involvement would be. That would be an you got to be available for the meetings. You got to be available for requests. You got to be able to review studies as they come out and that type of stuff. But that's just to the content of this report, as opposed to the going out into the community and dealing with the city council or the county council and the water company themselves and everything. So they could give us an objective idea of what the role might be, and that could be mostly for Sam.
And then hopefully that gets us through to where the general manager comes in, right?
That's what I'm kind of thinking. I'm thinking this is going to land a little bit in Sam's lap just for the technical questions, but by the time we get to the point where we're getting technical memos and starting to understand what it's going to take up there, I'm hopeful that we'll have someone in place that will be able to take on that task.
I would agree. You know, that we all know, as we look outside of just the engineering evaluation, which is really the root of my position with Pine Meadows, right? We all know annexations are, they require a lot of capacity, right? We've been through it. We went through it with community water fairly recently. So, you know, as we look specific to the engineering evaluation, I think the comments we've heard over the last 10 minutes, I don't need to rehash them. I think they're great comments. And I agree that I'm hopeful that a new general manager is here when you get into those next steps that do require that high level of capacity. And if that person isn't here, then, you know, the district, you know, again, maybe having a conversation with Pine Meadows that we got to stop until we have this support, you know, and that gets to those further conversations of water supply contracts and creating some surety and all those things that, you know, will be worked through in the future.
Okay, well, I think Scott's given his recommendation. I think we've had a good discussion. I think it's helped really open it up. And are there any more questions? Any more discussion on the board? Are there any
more? Maybe a procedural one. We're approving this contract, but they're paying for it at Pine Meadows. Is that so? They're going to get billed by us, and they're going to reimburse us.
Yep. So that's why we worked through and executed the annexation administrative fee agreement that okay. We passed a few months ago. That's the whole reason that's the first step.
So it's going to be a pass through to them, and they've agreed to pay us in 30 days or something like
correct.
That.
Correct.
Okay.
They have a deposit. They put a deposit down of $25,000.
Okay.
So we've got that to start with.
So do we need to make a motion to either move forward with this or not?
Yeah.
Yep.
If there's no more questions or comments. We had the one on, yeah, Tim's on reimbursement.
I move that we move forward with this with the understanding that we may have to stop along the way if we think we need more engineering help.
Is there a second?
A second.
That's Tim. Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
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 That was Ian. That was unanimous. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for that one. So that takes us into this part of... And we're able to come back to executive session. Do we need to...
Not for me.
Is there anything that the board would like to talk about? You know, kind of in relation to what came up tonight. Okay.
I'll just say I think that was a great discussion, and I appreciate the questions from the board.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well. There's no other questions or other business. I can't do any other business. Comments, and we'll stand adjourned at 7:05.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank have you. A great evening.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.